You're still there? Good. Well, permit me to try you with the humorous type of horror. Horror can't have humor? Listen to A Day at the Dentist.
Any more patients, nurse?
Yes, one just came in. He hasn't an appointment, but he says it's an emergency.
Oh, do I know him? What's his name?
His name is Fred Houseman.
Houseman? Fred? Are you sure?
Yes, do you know him?
No, oh no. Show him in. And Miss Case, you can go home now.
But doctor, it isn't time.
I said you could go home now.
Yes, doctor. The doctor will see you now.
Oh, thank you.
Come in, sir, come in. I'll see you in the morning, nurse. And when you go out, lock the outer door. Mr. Houseman will be my last patient.
Yes, doctor.
I said, come in, sir, come in.
Thank you, doctor, for seeing me without an appointment.
It's my pleasure. Oh, will you get in the chair?
Thank you. You know, I used to come here to Dr. Charles. I didn't know you'd taken over.
Mm-hmm. Are you all comfortable?
Yes, indeed.
Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, I have a toothache.
Oh, yes, we can fix that in a hurry. Nothing serious?
Say, are you sure it's painless, doctor? It's funny me saying that, but here I used to play football and wrestle, but there's one thing I sure can't stand is a little pain. You know, drilling and things like that.
Oh, no. No pain.
Well, the straps. Why are you strapping me in?
Don't be alarmed. In order to keep this painless, there must be absolutely no movement.
Oh.
There you are. Snug as a bug in a rug. That's a curious thing to call you, isn't it? You're no bug. You're the lover type, aren't you?
Why?
When I first heard your name, I wasn't sure, but when you came through the door, I...
What the hell is this?
Mary Elson.
Mary? What do you mean?
Surely you haven't forgotten Mary, lover boy. What you did to her was very special, wasn't it? Worth remembering. Worth talking about. Worth slobbering over.
Who the hell are you?
Her husband.
Let me out of here. Let me.
You won't break those straps. They've been waiting just for you. That's why I bought out Dr. Charles' practice. Because I knew that sooner or later you'd come back to him. The painless dentist. Now you're here.
What? The drill? What are you going to do?
Nothing important. Just going to drill a little hole to let out some of the lover boy.
Oh, no. What are you going to do? What? Oh, no. Please. No.
Yes, lover boy.
Now that you've stopped laughing, let's consider the great open spaces of our noble West. In other words, television-type horror.
Hey, give me a chaw, will you? Greaser's taking it hard, ain't he? So he got a wife and kids. So who told him to get a wife and kids? Hanging from a tree, he'll keep them rustlers off our range, won't he? So what do we want the sheriff for? That's a greaser, ain't it? And he's tied up on a horse, noose around a tree in his neck, ain't it? So if somebody was to shoot off a gun, accidental-like, that horse would take off, wouldn't he? And we could head for town and a drink, couldn't we? So I got a careless gun.
Oh.
kicker, ain't he?
No short hairs rising? Then permit me to try you with the science fiction type. With all these Sputniks and satellites circling our Earth, and with all this competitive fission and fusion going on, science fiction horror is the very latest. And we are trying to bring you the very latest. Do you remember some time ago, in an Eastern scientific institution, they kept a piece of heart alive for weeks on end? Well, I got to thinking, what if that heart began to grow? And grow, and grow, and grow.
Hello? Hello, operator. Give me Mr. Regan, fast. Hello, Mr. Regan, this is Lewis. Listen, get me a rewrite, man. The thing's still growing. No, Chief, I tell you the truth. The corridor's choked with living, crawling flesh. No, 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 I'm not drunk. I'm telling you the truth. That little piece of flesh has grown until now. It's jamming that building. All inside the space of an hour. You've got to believe me. It's the greatest news story of the generation, and here you argue with me. I tell you, it's the truth. You've got to believe.
You believe me. I tell you, the only hope is to burn the building to the ground at once.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute. Take it easy.
I tell you, burn it to the ground. Burn.
And I tell you, take it easy. I sent in a call.
Oh, don't you understand? For some reason, I cannot even imagine. This tissue is doubling in size every hour. Do you know what that means? In another hour, it will be twice the size it is now. And long before that, it will break open the building with the force of its pressure. And then it will be free in the street. Do you hear me? Free in the street. And then those tentacles of protoplasm stretching out to feed on anything they can reach. What's happening? The building! See the walls! Cracking! I warned you!
Is free.
Gentlemen, come to order, please. Gentlemen, please. Quiet, please now. As mayor, no one realizes more than I do the necessity of immediate action in curbing this unspeakable, unbelievable emergency. And I assure you.
Cut the speeches, Mac. That blasted thing is spreading like a forest fire. Call the governor. Get the National Guard out.
Wait. Here is Dr. Alberts of the Research Institute. Let him speak. Step up here, doctor.
And do something.
Let's see what he says.
Gentlemen, it was in my institute this horror began. And if you give me a chance, perhaps I can stop it.
What is it, Doctor? Tell us first what that monster really is.
Yes. Yes, I will tell you. That great, ever-growing mass of flesh, it is, or it was, a chicken heart.
Chicken heart? Are you crazy, man?
Chicken heart? Yes, chicken heart, I tell you. Chicken heart. Listen to me, you fools. This.
I tell you, that mass of flesh was a chicken heart, the tissue of which, for some reason, is undergoing constant, rapid, accelerating growth. With every passing hour, its growth is doubling. Do you know what that means? If it is now one block in size, within 30 hours, that cannibal flesh will have increased in size to one square block to the 30th power. In 30 hours, every inch of this whole city will be crushed under that moving flesh. Within 60 hours, it will have covered the entire state. Within 2 weeks, the entire United States. You ask for the National Guard. I say, call out the entire army. Blast this thing off the earth.
All ready, Chief. Pumpers are ready. All the hoses coupled up. We'll flood that thing with water from all angles.
All right, here's the signal. Open them up. Full blast. Chief, look out. That flesh is reaching out.
Get back, everybody. Everybody, back.
The fools, what good is water? I told them. The only hope is artillery. Bombs.
All National Guardsmen, report to your armories.
All National Guardsmen report to your armories. General mobilization order.
Battery in position, sir.
Commence firing on the hour.
Yes, sir.
10, 5, 0. Commence firing! Fire!
Useless. It has grown too large, and it grows too quickly. The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
You all right now, Dr. Alberts?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, Mr. Lewis. I'm all right.
Well, I sure am glad I located you. I stalled as long as I could, another 10 minutes, and we couldn't have taken off. That blasted protoplasm, or whatever it is, was sucking at the wheels by the time we left the ground.
Yes, I saw.
5,000 feet. Well, we'll cruise around up here for a few minutes and then head west.
It will do no good.
You can't mean it. It must stop growing sometime. It must.
Look at it down there. The gray blankets of evil covering everything. See how the roads are black with men and women and their children running for their lives. See how the protoplasmic gray reaches out and engulfs them. See.
Stop it! Stop talking like that. We'll get away. The government, they'll send bombing planes, poison gas.
No hope. Listen to me, Lewis. You remember only a handful of days ago you asked me my prophecy of the end of the earth? You remember my answer? Oh, such a scholarly prophecy. Cessation of earth rotation. Mighty sounding astronomical theories. But now, this is reality, Lewis. The end has come for humanity. Not in the red of atomic fusion. Not in the glory of interstellar combustion. Not in the peace of white, cold silence. But with that creeping, grasping flesh below us. It is a joke, hey, Lewis? A great joke. The joke of the cosmos. The end of mankind.
Why?
Because of a chicken's heart.
No! No, we won't die. I can't die. I'll find a safe landing somewhere. I'll find a place. The motor, it's cut out. We're in a spin. I can't get out of it.
I told you, doomed.
No, no.
All mankind, doomed.
No, we're falling right into it, into the heart.
Now it's time for the ultimate in horror. Yes, the ultimate, the top, the finale. The time is 20,000 years from tomorrow. A man is addressing a great throng of people. Listen to him.
Excuse me, please. I'm laughing. I know it isn't polite, but I can't help it. The funniest thing. Oh, wait till you hear it. Absolutely the funniest thing. Yes. Yes, I'll tell you. A hoax. He tried to play a hoax on me, telling me it was an authentic record of their times and expecting me, to believe. Now, wait a moment. Wait a moment. I'll start from the beginning. No, really, I will. And then you'll laugh with me. I know you will. Well, it started like this. An old man comes to my study a little while ago, a package under his arm, and he tells me he's a student of the past. past master of humbug, that's what he meant. Now, wait until you hear it. So, he has this package under his arm, and he says to me breathlessly,
Kind sir, I brought you the most wonderful relic of the past the modern world has ever known.
Really, I said. What are you talking about, and who are you?
A lonely traveler, one who wanders in far-off places.
far-off places, that's what he told me. So I said, and is that what you're bringing me from one of those far-off places? He shakes his old head like a strutting rooster.
Yes, indeed. You are the greatest living scholar of the history of the old world, so it is fitting that I bring this to you.
Indeed. And what have you got, and where did you find it?
I was walking through the mountains beneath which the great city once stood.
Well? Well?
As you know, thousands of years ago, there was another civilization that reached great height.
I know, I know. Certainly you're not going to teach me history, my ancient friend.
Oh, no, no, indeed. I only meant to say, what I found high in the mountains, it is a written record of that civilization. The first written record ever to be found.
Well, for a moment, I couldn't breathe. I just looked at him. I said, have you gone out of your head with age, old man? Nothing is left of that ancient time. We believe that first the deadly radiation covered them when the dark planet swung close and then the molten rock thrust up. It's only our theory that men had a civilization here before us. For answer, he tore the paper off the package.
Look, look, these papers, reality, I tell you, high in the mountains, inside a piece of alabaster that must have protected it from the ravages of time, miraculously spewed out from the earth when the mountains rose up through the land. Look, sir, and read. A record of their times. A record of the ways of men 20,000 years before our civilization came into being.
Yes, he said that, and I took the book, took it in my hand and read. Now listen to this. First, the crazy book said that... Oh, wait until you hear this. First the book said that the men of that past civilization fought about the land. You don't understand what I mean? The world, they fought each other, maimed each other, bled each other over who owned what piece of the world. Did you ever hear such nonsense? They knew how large the world was, and they knew how many men were on it, but instead of sharing it in fairness, they fought each other. Yes, bloody wars for years and years. You ever hear such humbug history? And that isn't all. The book said they fought each other over race. Yes, race. Race. The book says the word means the difference between men. And then the book said that all men had the same origin, and yet... They killed each other over a difference they admitted did not even exist. Oh, what a fraud that book. And a man walked that world for a little while and said, for the glory of God, peace on earth. And he spoke truth, and men listened and said, we believe. And then went out to murder with bright music playing. Music, I tell you. And then a little man arose who said, for the glory of the state, war on earth. And he spoke lies, and men knew they were lies, and he knew they knew, but again they went out to murder with the music playing. And here's the climax. This preposterous book said that these crazy people who filled the earth in those days had machines with which to fly through the air. Yes, yes, really, through the air. Imagine the wonder if it were true, speeding through the air like the birds, great glistening machines to carry men to new wonders, but guess what the fraud of a book said they did with them. Oh, you'll hold your sides when you hear this one. They loaded the machines with horrible tearing things and flew over the crowded places and dropped them. Yes, believe me, that's what this humbug history tried to make me believe was the truth. Men struggled for centuries. Men studied. They toiled. Rivers of heartache, at least the book said so, trying to make a healthier world for their children to live in. And then they threw poison clouds down from the sky and killed them off in the tens of thousands. Kill the children. Oh,